So I'm up in the mountains. I don't know how I ended up in the mountains. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's some nice sights. Some nice sightseeing here, I admit, but I wouldn't want to live here because there's nothing out here. It's just like a couple mobile homes here, 5 miles, you see a mobile home or you see a little house. And then you see a chicken farm across the street, a little house across from the chicken farm. A couple houses, some old chicken farms. I don't know if they use them. Looks like they're still using them for... Yeah, they're still using them for something. Store hay or something. I could see some hills and mountains and stuff. I hope the guy gives a tip for driving this far out, but we'll see. I think I deserve a $20 tip for this trip. Sometimes they give a tip after they get settled in and all. But what I was thinking about, you know, is how if you were to live out here, the good old boy network is what rules, you know. I should pull over and take a picture of this. This is pretty amazing, to be honest with you. Actually, people live on the top of that mountain. I can see houses on the top of that mountain.
In a quarter mile, turn left onto the US 421 south ramp to Yadkinville.
I'd like to know how in the world they got up there, at the top of that mountain. If they live up there. How did they get up there?
Turn left onto the US 421 south ramp.
Yadkinville. Back onto a main thoroughfare, thankfully.
In a quarter mile, merge onto US 421 south.
All I can say is hallelujah. But anyway, there was like nobody for miles. It's like going back in time. There's a little small church over there, and that kind of brings up what I was going to talk about. So, you know, back in the day, everything was like this little town. Everything's spread out, and everybody's the good old boy network, and you have to have a family name to make any money and all that. That's one reason some people moved to the city, because it's not about the family name or about the good old boy network, you know. And so, growing up, you wanted to know the truth. Before the internet, before cell phones, you didn't have act. You just listened to Charles Stanley or some preacher online, right? And you might get some truth. You definitely didn't hear about narcissism. Nobody talked about that because most people were it. That's all they knew, to be narcissistic, you know. I need to change lanes, but it's like a 2 inches to change lanes because they're paving it, it looks like. I don't see any way to get over there without messing up your tires. So you want the truth, right? So your whole life you're seeking the truth. We didn't know about the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds. There's so much information now at your fingertips that no wonder the younger generation is saying, we don't want to do what y'all did because y'all believe the lie. We change lanes, get over in that smooth lane, see what happens here. Changing lanes at 60 miles an hour with a 2-inch drop or going up, you know, it's kind of weird. I don't know what that did to the tires, but we'll see. It's a whole lot smoother. all these cars on the right, they don't want to change lanes. I don't blame them because it might mess up your tires. Anyway, so we wanted the truth. And we had all these local preachers and local teachers, so-called, and so-called experts that didn't really know nothing. And they were not really spiritual. So you hear some truth. You grow one step. Then you go another step. You go another step. Then you get married, and you start to see something ain't right. And then you grow more, and you start to see in-laws and outlaws. If you're not a part of their cult, you become the enemy, you know? If you don't join the cult, you become the enemy. Wow, I'm surrounded. I'm actually surrounded by mountains all around me right now. It's not really a mountain per se. It's a big, large hill. That's all I can say. So these, these little mini steps of truth, every time you take a step, you think you've arrived, but then something else hits you. And enough years pass by, you finally cry out to God and say, well, Lord, what am I missing? What is going on? You study the 666, because it says count the number of the beast. In the book of Revelation, it says count up the number of the beast. So I said, okay, I'll count up the number of the beast. And so for 5 years, I counted up the number of the beast. And I said, Lord, looks like the devil's winning. I see 666 on everything. And he said, it's right in front of you. And then 6 months later, I asked him again. I said, I still don't see it. He said, it's right in front of you. And I still couldn't see it. So 2 months later, Shekinah glory showed up and showed it to me. The blood of his cross is right in front of you, everywhere you look. And so I didn't understand what I do now, that this whole thing is a story. When you look at a tree or grass or a sign or a hill or some rolling hills or rocks or sand or dirt, everything is a story. It's telling a story. Everything is telling a story. And it's the same story of the flesh versus the spirit, and it's the same story that Jesus went to the cross to save you. And so as you grow spiritually, especially when a Shekinah glory shows up from a 5D realm into the 3D, you're like, oh, it's kind of like if you saw an angel or something, it would change you forever. If you saw an angel, it would change you forever. If you see the Shekinah glory, it would change you forever. It takes you to the next level, right? And so then you start to speak some truth that's outside of the status quo in the 3D. And I'm talking about whether it's a church or whether it's a... I better slow down. I don't know what the speed limit is. Whatever it is, you remove yourself from the 3D mindset to the 5D, and it starts to jive. And people are calling you crazy, and what are you doing? What are you talking about? And you don't know. It takes about 7 years to get the full grasp of what you're in. And then you step into the spirit mind instead of the flesh mind. And everybody who's in the flesh mind, who didn't see past 3D, they're still in the flesh mind. And you're trying to shake them out of it, and it's all in vanity. Now, the born-again people, if they meditate on it enough, it'll be clear. But when you tell people, hey, it's a simulated training program, it's a cycle repeat, it's a sine wave. Every time you get up, every day's the same. Every moment's the same. It's all a worship service, and you're just here temporarily to be conformed into the image of Christ, sanctification and all that. And there's nothing else but the gospel. Yeah, you can work and enjoy life. You know, people get married and enjoy having a family, kids. That's good. But one day those people are going to go away, and some people are going to die, and then they're going to be right back, slapped face to face with what this place really is. And so they're going to eventually wake up when there's 60, 70, 80, and there's going to be, they won't have, it'll be like, I wish I'd have known this when I was younger, you know. But I think what happens is you have to have enough Bible before God appears and shows you the reality of this place. Because if it was, if he floods you with so much truth, it would be overwhelming. It actually knocks you down. When you see the other side, the spirit realm, it actually knocks you down. So that's why when you see angels show up in the Old Testament, people just fell down on the ground. It's too much power. You're looking at a holy creature. Something that's holy in an unholy place. So when the Shekinah glory shows up, you're looking at a holy, holy, holy manifestation, and it has to knock you down. And it's only by the grace of God that you live through something like that. I'm just thankful to be alive. I should be dead. I think if that would have stayed around more than 3 seconds, I'd probably be dead. I think it was just, I was so tired. I was going to sleep, and there it was. I was working so much, you know, I was so tired. I just said, I don't know what that was. I'm going to go to sleep. I tried to figure it out, and I just couldn't figure it out, you know. And I got to end this now. I got to look back at the map here in a second. But when I woke up, I couldn't walk. It was, you're talking about a holy, righteous manifestation in your house, 2 feet away from your feet, 6 feet away from your eyes, what you gaze upon, you become, by the way. What you gaze upon, you become. What you think on, you become. What you meditate on, that's what you become. When we see him, we'll be like him, right? What you gaze upon, you become. Think about that. That's a deep truth. You should be able to meditate on that for a while. Think about that for a year, and you'll still be unfolding it after a year. There's a 7-Eleven. I should have got gas. Let's see if I'll make it. I don't even know if I'm going the right way. Let me put this on pause. I gotta make sure I'm going in the right direction. Yeah, I'm in the right direction. So anyway, as you look at life from a different perspective than the average Joe, they have to persecute you because it's outside of their understanding. It's outside of their wisdom. The New Age people, they'll try to perfect the flesh, you know, they'll try to be holy in their flesh, you know. The flesh is nothing but sin, the Bible says. It's the righteousness of Christ by faith. I don't think you'll see bodily fluids in heaven. Number two, number one. Dead fingernails, dead hair. You brush your hair, the hair falls out in the comb, in the brush, whatever. You're not gonna see dead skin in heaven. You're gonna have a new body, a light body. And so when you walk around among these dead creatures down here, once you see past this thing, you see that everybody's walking around in a dead, you know, yeah, they're alive. The NPCs and the zombies, and they're walking around. And you realize that eternal life is in Christ, so you're eating and drinking of that eternal life, not the temporal. The creation eating itself is death, you know. Everything's going back to the grave. Yeah, he gives you life. You're walking around each day. You die, you go to sleep, you die daily. You go to sleep, you wake up, you regenerate. But I want you to really think about what I'm telling you, that this whole thing is going back to the dirt. And eventually it's going to be burned up, you know. And to burn up the earth, the whole earth, to get a new heaven, a new earth, that's a lot. That's a serious fire, right? And so just like the earth's going to be burned up, your old flesh has to be burned up. God has to burn up your old way of thinking. The old Adamic nature has to be burned and cut and turned and incinerated. And so once you see past 3D and you see that the battle, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, literally it's not against people, it's against a principality, a power, even the gang stalkers who persecute you, they're not even running on their own, they're just following a program. They think they're doing God's will. The Bible says they will try to kill you by speaking the truth. They're running on a demonic program and they can't stop. That's why they follow a cycle. And so this game we're in down here is just a temporary thing. It's to sharpen you and make you stronger internally. It's to sharpen you and make you strong spiritually. The narcissist is actually teaching you to be stoic. The stoic looks at every battle from the outside in, you know. Elijah, John the Baptist, all the prophets, they would come into the city and look at the city and the people running on the program thinking, these people are crazy. These people are running on the program. The leadership, they always want to impress. They always want to say the right thing. They want to be people pleasers, but you can't please everybody ever. You can't please anybody, really. The only thing you should try to please is God, you know. Anyway, so all these systems in place to keep you from seeing past 3D is a distraction. And once you really go to God and He shows up on the scene and reveals all this to you, you'll say, oh, this is not even real down here. It feels real, but it's not. It looks real. You can touch it, but it's really not real. It's just a cartoon. It's cartoon land. I'm in this little country town, still in the mountains a little bit, and I'm gonna see what these people, how these people act. They all probably run on the same program. It'll be interesting that we interact with these people in this little small town. It's a small town, but it still has a CVS. It's got an ABC store. Got a Pizza Hut. Got an Advance Auto. Crazy. It's got an H&R Block. It's got a Dollar Tree. So what you're observing, even with the internet and all, they're trying to make everybody one hive mind through the internet, through the knowledge of the internet. It's obvious. I'm gonna go over here to Sheetz, even though I don't want to, because I don't like the gas, but I gotta use the restroom. They got a McDonald's, they got a Sheetz, they got a Shell. That's where I really wanna go, Shell. Where I'm gonna go. Bojangles, Subway, Burger King. Same little names of these stores. You would think that you're in the same city because it's the same corporate system. Yeah, I don't think they got a restroom. What a little small podunk gas station. One time I went to Canada to see a potential spouse that I considered, but everything she said was a lie. I found out later. But anyway, it's like, we drove around. She says, you know this city better than me. She says, how's that possible? I said, they're all the same. They all have the same setup. You talking about? They're all the same. Something how people lie. Gotta draw you into their world. And when you're younger, you believe their lies. And actually, what are you doing? You're actually believing your own lie. They're just giving you what you want, and it's not even real. So you've created this image of this potential mate, potential wife, and you come to find out that everything she was telling you, she just repeated what she heard online and convinced you that she was the one, you know?